consistent. It's all season and seven games left. Is that still the most important thing, or are you running out of time to stick with what you're doing?
Well, stick with what I'm doing as far as...
Do you have personnel scheme?
No, I think we've been doing. I think you're evolving weekly with your team, with your players, especially when you're having injuries, and doing what you think is best and having the best players out there. We feel we're definitely doing that as far as playing the right people. We'll continue to, like I said, week in, week out, there's a team. Every team does the same thing. So, yeah, we're going to continue move forward with what we're doing. And you can't – a game like last – like yesterday, I'd hope that we wouldn't turn the ball over five times next week and have two special team touchdowns given up and basically 35 points were given up, not by the defense, in one game, which is I don't know how often that's been done before in the history of the league, but we gave the game away, and I don't think you'll see us do that again. So, that's the part is that's hard to handle why all that would happen in one game. Both sides of the ball there, and special teams and offense struggling to take care of the football.
How do you think this group has embraced the know your job, do your job ethic that you preach?
I guess it depends on what capacity you look at it. I mean, there's a lot of ways that's going on as far as fumbling the football. If you're talking about yesterday, in particular, obviously don't fumble the football. Everyone from Pee Wee, from 8 years old to on, knows that you don't throw interceptions and you don't turn the ball over and expect to win. So obviously, we didn't do our job yesterday.
After watching tape, was the effort there? Was any heads hanging at the end?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, maybe coaches will stand here all the time and say that. We obviously are embarrassed by how the game went, by making that many mistakes with the football, I'm saying, with breakdown of protection on the punt for a touchdown, with a punt not punt well for a kick, a punt return, things we haven't done with that are totally unlike us. I think up until that point yesterday, we had two fumbles by our skill. I think Chris had one fumble in the Minnesota game, and I think we had one fumble by a receiver, and we had after 8 weeks, and then in that game we had four. So we're not a team that fumbles the football very often. Actually, I think Chris had one fumble and 170 carries when he did the Minnesota game. So it's not something that happens very often with us at all. We're usually very disciplined in that area. We hadn't had a turnover in 2 weeks on offense or as a team in general in the last 2 weeks up until last week. So we are obviously we played a very good football team yesterday, and we didn't give our chance to win, and that's hard to take.
When you said after the game that you and your staff have preached all week what Tillman and their defense was going to be doing, and yet it happened. Is that message getting lost? I mean, is it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I don't see how they knew they're good at something, and they were aware of it. They see it on film. You don't have to be told. I think you're told, and you watch the Detroit game. I think Detroit fumbled three or four times just 2 weeks ago. That cost them that game. I think they were very well aware of it, that these guys hit. But, again, you can't simulate something when you're getting hit and guys are stripping. It's hard to – during the week you can have guys grabbing at the ball and doing those kind of things, but it's definitely a different mentality when you're in the heat of the battle and you have two guys tackling and you're trying to push your guy off and someone else gets the ball. Usually we do a very good job with that. And for whatever reason, like I said yesterday, give them credit. They're known for being good at it. We didn't expect, obviously, the ball to come out. I don't think these guys did. I think they were trying to make plays. The first play of the game, Kenny makes a great – we have a 30-yard gain on the first snap. He's trying to defend one defender. The ball comes out. I mean, I don't know. They were very well aware that they do a good job ball hawking and getting the ball out. Their whole defense does, and unfortunately, they were successful against us.
What happened on special teams? Did Harper miss the block?
There was confusion on that. We had a protection breakdown, and he's on the outside there, and that's something that should never happen. It happened.
And as far as Hester, what was the plan with him? I mean, were you supposed to not punt it to him, or you got in position and didn't make the play, or what was your plan going? It seemed like that obviously led to another touchdown.
Well, it was just the one that was kicked in the middle. It was kicked low and short. Right. That was the problem. The other kicks were good. I thought the other kicks we did a very good job covering and put them in the corners, but that it wasn't a very good kick by Brett. And obviously we needed to make up for it. When there's not a good kick, you have to make up for it with a good tackle, and we missed a tackle on top of being a poor kick and ended up in a great field position for them.
What happened on the two consecutive illegal procedures for having the tight end covered? Who exactly was out of place there with the tight end?
It doesn't matter. I mean, to me, is they covered each other up, and it shouldn't happen. I mean, that's just no matter what the formation is called, who's responsible. If you have three guys next to each other between a tight end and two receivers, they should communicate along the lines of making sure two back, one's up. They didn't do that. I think one time Chris came out late. I think they already adjusted, didn't know Chris was coming out in the empty formation. So you come up with a lot of excuses. The bottom line, shouldn't happen.
Chris, Kendall said that he did what he did all week at practice. Is that true? He said he thought he was responsible for one, and he lined up the exact way he lined up at practice. So was somebody missing a misalignment all week at practice?
Well, no. I don't want to comment on something that I don't know if Kendall's referring to. Which one of those plays he's referring to? So, I mean, obviously.
Is it possible that somebody lined up wrong all week at practice and it wasn't caught until an official
flagged
them?
No, it's not.
You mentioned the special teams. It seems like most of the year that's been a strength for you guys. A little disappointed that's not come up well the last few weeks there.
As far as, it is disappointing because, like you said, that was the one phase that we have said has been consistent for us. And then, yesterday, having the bad play, having the return, having the block is totally unlike us, and it seemed like the whole game was totally unlike us. And that's why it's so hard to explain, why that would happen on a day at home against a very good football team that was coming in. We knew what was at stake, and we went out and made some mistakes that we normally would not make.
What kind of dialogue have you had with Bud through this season, and how often do you talk to him?
Periodically. I mean, when most of the home games Mr. Adams comes in for, so I'll get a chance to speak with him briefly. Usually check in during the week after games. That's kind of the usual deal.
Have you spoken with him today?
Yep, we spoke briefly today, which we have done before after games.
What did he tell you today?
That's between him and I.
What was your reaction to him being somewhat critical of?
I think obviously Mr. Adams is very much entitled to his opinion, and I probably would have said the same thing if I were him. I mean, he comes to this is his team. He expects us to play well, especially at home. That's our job. That's my job, to make sure we're out there playing our best and winning games at home, hopefully, every time we line up. And we didn't do that, and we didn't play well, and I'd be upset, too, if I were him.
Put additional pressure on players, coaches?
It shouldn't. I mean, we should have the same pressure every week. I mean, I hope that's not what it takes to win a football game or play better. Every week you line up, this is your job, it's your livelihood. You've been blessed to play this game and to coach it. And I think that when you line up on a Sunday, it's all about winning. And that's what we need to do, and we didn't do it last week.
I think you were pretty clear yesterday, but you don't plan any changes on your staff until season 10. You're going to let the final seven games play out before you consider making.
Well, again, we're looking into the future, the crystal ball. I mean, right now, no, I'm not planning on making any changes, and that doesn't mean that I mean that I could make a change 3 weeks from now. We're moving forward. We got to win football games, and I'm not right now. I'm not spending my time deciding on making coaching changes, and no, I'm not thinking of doing that.
How much pressure do you feel right now? I mean, has it increased here as the season's gone on? The pressure to win?
It always does. I mean, when you're not winning as a player, I felt the pressure because it's something you want to do. You work so hard to do something, and then when you don't have success, it's hard to take. When you become a coach. As a line coach, I felt the same pressure many times here in Nashville when we weren't playing well, when people thought we were done at different times when we were 1-4 and had bad records and came off some horrible losses, that everything was coming to an end. There's pressure because you're at that time I'm responsible for getting an offensive line ready to play, and I feel that I'm not doing all – what else can I do to help these guys play better? And now I think as a head coach, I have more responsibility, obviously. I'm responsible for putting a team out there that's ready to play. And that the city can be proud of, and that we can go, get in the playoffs like the plan is to do. And obviously, the last 2 weeks, we haven't done that.
Have any sense that Jake might be getting back this week, or is it more logical to hold him out?
No, we'll see how he, like I said, he's been progressing well, had good practice last week. He's seen the doctor today as far as the check, the weekly exam he gets, and then we'll know more then, and hopefully he'll keep progressing, and we'll do more with him this week and make those decisions as we go forward.
You think he will be, is there thing he can be cleared for contact this week?
Well, that's the next step, yeah. I mean, that's the next step you're hoping for. He's practicing out there 11 on 11, and now, obviously, in practice, you're not going to tackle anyway, so the next step at some point would be for him to start taking game reps or reps during practice you know, for Miami, and then if that goes well, then it would be the next step if he's at that point. Right now, he may just do the same thing he did last week and stick with the scout team reps, so that's something we'll find out over the next day or so.
You want to decide before Wednesday?
Oh, definitely. Well, I think it'd be more of if we got to, hypothetically, if we got to Wednesday where he was, we thought he was able to take the next step and start taking team reps, then it'd be more of seeing how he did that way physically and mentally, getting ready for an actual game again. And then if we felt he was there, then it'd be the final step of, hey, he's ready to play.
Is there a school of thought though, that just with the bye week coming up after that, that would just make more sense?
If we think it's would help him, yeah. I mean, if we, after talking with the doctors tomorrow, if we think that that's the best thing to do because where he's at, then yeah. But if we think he's, if we say, hey, you know what, he could play, he's ready to go, well, then why wait? I mean, I guess that's how we look at it. And again, I mentioned yesterday, winning and losing wasn't going to fa- I know a lot of people go by that thinking, well, if we're 3 in a row, we'll do this, or if we're 0-3, we'll do this. That really didn't have a factor in either way.
Do you think, though, that even though that wasn't your plan, putting him back in there could provide a spark?
I think it would provide a spark if we're winning or losing. I mean, that's why he's our starter. That's why I've always answered the question the same, that when he's healthy and we felt he was ready to play, that we'd put him in there because he brings a different type of spark than Matt does. I mean, everyone, when Matt jumped in there, I thought he brings, because he does things differently and he does different things well. And I think anytime you have a little adjustment to the roster, even though you may not want to have to do it because of injury, you're hoping that it brings something positive to the equation. And obviously Matt has done that this year when he stepped in and played. I think he brought a little different type of excitement. And then all of a sudden when Jake does come back at some point, I think he'll do the same.
Some of the wins, obviously, are some of the losses you guys have had this year have been the lopsided version. Does that team goes through enough of those? Can that affect the team psyche when it's getting 20, 25-point losses as opposed to just close losses?
I don't know. I thought last week was a lot harder on me than any of the others. I mean, up until this game was most disappointing because it's embarrassing to lose at home by playing so sloppy. I think that's every loss has a little different character to it, a different feel to it. And so, because I know that's not the team you saw out there yesterday was not, we could play the Bears 10 more times and that kind of game is never going to happen again. But it happened on Sunday. So we got to deal with that. And so, that's the hard part of this loss is that I know that that's not – we did a lot of good things. It's hard to stand here and tell you that we did a lot of good things in that game yesterday. Okay, but some players played very well. I mean, but, you know, that's going to get long lost in losing by 30 points. Because in the way we lost, it wasn't like grinded out. It was this big turnover plays that just pretty much put us behind. But so that was very – that game's hard to take. Last week, I thought, for me, it was probably one of the hardest losses I had as a head coach because it was so – we could have won the game 20 different ways. And we lost. And so that was hard to take because you start thinking as a coach, when it's that close, you think any one play could change the game. And we didn't make any of those plays. We went 0-for last week to win that game and still lost in overtime. So I think it's every loss has its unique feel to it. But like to answer your question, yeah, I think it's hard to take because the good thing for the players is they get to watch the tape in detail and see what was supposed to happen, what was called. And I think that gives you a little more it gives you a little better feel for the direction you're going because you do see better, a player can see better, you know, what is the good in some of the things that's going on and that it's not as far as it may seem by the lopsided losses you refer to. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a loss. I mean, last week was one loss. This is one. This, you know, as ugly as it was, it's only one loss. And we come back to Miami. We got to win the game for that. That's where we're at. The NFL, the nice thing is you play on Sunday and we got to find a way to win a football game that obviously most people think there's no way we can win. And that should be how probably most of our games are going forward. And it's up to us to change that perspective. And that's going to be how we play. Who played well? I thought the offensive line was solid during the game. I thought Jarrell Casey played pretty hard throughout the game, making some plays. I thought Akeem Ayers made some nice plays throughout the game, here and there throughout the game. Zach Brown made some nice tackles and played physical. So I think there was guys that, I mean, you know, were they error free? No, but I think there'd be a lot of things in there that were good. I mean, and you act about guys working hard. I mean, guys were working hard. I mean, Jarrell Casey in the last 3 minutes of games were sprinting 7 yards down, you know, down the sideline, making a tackle on a 3 yard gain. I mean, when you see things like that, that's what you want to see. There's only so much good to look for in a game when it's that way. I get that. Most people didn't see it because you leave and it's all about the disappointment. But you have to build on stuff for next week. And so there's still a lot of plays in there that were made by players that was good to watch. Chris Johnson, you know, fumbles two balls, has a penalty. And the last play of the game, they run a safety blitz. He knocked a guy on his butt. I mean, you know, he could have gone there half-assed and done whatever, but he went and made the play. It's just things that guys are not – people get this perspective that because you're losing, you're not trying. And the game doesn't mean – believe me, he doesn't want to fumble the football. It means a lot to him that he put the ball on the ground. He knows he hurt the football team, all that stuff. But on top of that, doesn't mean he's going to hang his head. He knows that he could get embarrassed the next play also. So NFL players don't quit on stuff. And I didn't see any of these guys quitting. So we didn't win and didn't play well, but we didn't quit on anything.
Well, down 26 at the end of the first quarter, you stuck with Chris a little bit more than you did earlier in the year when the score got out of hand. Is that evidence that he's just playing better and is still an option when you're behind now?
I think because it happened so fast, it was the first quarter, it was down, and it was just like bam, bam, bam because of our own fault that we felt the best stuff against Chicago anyway was the play action and run the football. And you could see they were consistent. They kept their guys in the box anyway up by 26. So they didn't want us to run the ball. They were number one in rushing defense going into that game. I think now they're sixth or seventh because, I mean, he busted the big one. But he was having success running the ball before that. Other than the third down and one that they got penetration on us, I thought we ran the ball pretty well against a very good football team. And we'll say, well, you know, you guys are behind. Well, yeah, we were behind. That doesn't mean they wanted to give up an 80-yard run or a 15-yard run or some of the runs we had there. So, we stuck with it for a reason. We thought that was the best way to stay with it without – putting everything on Matt and the receivers for the next three quarters that we needed to get back into our offense. And we did that in the third quarter. We came out in the third quarter, which I hoped. We had a nice talk at halftime about what went on. We were all very disappointed about where we were at halftime. We had a very good talk as a team at that point. We came out. We stopped them on defense. We sacked the quarterback. We took the ball. We went down the field and scored. And to me, if we could have kept that going like that, then I think it, you know, even though we may not have won the football game, that's what we were trying to achieve, is to see if somehow we can get back in it. You know, you're within three scores. You're trying to figure, okay, if you make a play here, make a play here, get to two scores by fourth quarter, all of a sudden you never know. So I think that was the mentality you saw us when we came out of the locker room, and both sides of the ball did a nice job, and then we came back and ended up giving it the big run, which they ended up getting a field goal on. So, again, give them credit for, again, they made plays when they had to. They didn't give us a chance even to see any kind of glimmer getting back in it after that first in the third quarter. So we stuck with that phase of the game because we thought that was a good way to move the ball on.
Possible lineup or roster changes after a loss like this?
Like I said earlier, we always do. I mean, you're always looking at, even when you play, even when you win a football game, some guys don't play well. Just like on the opposite, you know, even though we didn't win the football game, some guys played well. It's not 22 guys or 30 guys all playing poorly because you lost. So same thing when you win. Even though we win, there's maybe an area of the game that we're not happy with. So we look at it as far as making adjustments or getting different players in there, or maybe rolling this guy. Maybe this guy's playing too much. I think if you're a good staff and you're good coaches, I mean, that's something you should constantly be trying to make sure you're doing the right thing. Do we have the right guys in there? Are we asking them to do the right thing? Can they handle it? So I think win or lose, you're doing that. If you know, because otherwise you're going to get caught in a problem down the road. So we try to do that on a weekly basis and don't get caught up by if we won or lost, to decide how thorough we should be in our evaluation of ourselves.
You expect him to ride and play Sunday?
At this point, yeah, he got the elbow, but there's no reason to think he wouldn't be able to play.
How about Leroy?
Leroy is more questionable to his knee. I think they're re-examining him today. His knee was that it was harder to examine when it happened because the type of injury, how loose it was, he was swollen, so it was hard to tell how loose or how strong it was. I think he's already taking up appointment to get checked on today, so we'll get a better feel for where he's at. Deuce played pretty. I mean, Bruce, again, you talk about like a little surge. He's a kind of fun guy. He kind of brought a little energy, I thought, to the group as far as his personality. I mean, he's had 60, 70 starts in the league. He's played in the Super Bowl. But for not playing a long time, I thought he held his own, did a nice, you know, good, solid, you know, missed some things here and there, but nothing that hurt us, but was okay.
Potential with Leroy, though, I know holding that hope for him to stand by, but potentially you may have to be without him the rest of the year?
I mean, that's a possibility, depending on what we find out today with that knee, if it's worth, again, you're starting to get into a time crunch, you know, 6 weeks, you know, there's a bye in there. You know, 6-7 weeks left in his knee, so we need to see if it's one of those things where if he can heal without surgery, is what they're looking at. Can you put a brace on it, and can he do it that way, or can't he? And I think once we find that out, which it would probably be this week, then we'll know what to do.
Do you take any issue with Jordan Babineau when I guess he was asked about what went wrong, and he said go ask the defensive coordinator? Do you take any issue with that whatsoever?
No, I mean, he didn't say it. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to comment on something that I didn't hear firsthand or know what he's referring to or you know, what if it was after the game, who was to. I mean, it's hard to comment on something like that.
Martin
Ellsworth, he's this week. I think we have to make a decision on him this week, yes.
With Apolava hurt, is it pretty
easy? Well, that's the same thing as seeing where we think Al's at, and then because it's a roster spot. So we need to take a look and see what's the best way to do that. And right now, until we get, like you said, about a handful of guys, we need to see where their health's at, and then that'll help us make our decision this week.
What have you seen out of Markell?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it's hard on everyone because of the fact that you can't go by anything other than college tape because he hasn't been healthy since we drafted him. Unfortunately, you know, the limited practices through OTAs, camp, and even now the last couple of weeks, so it's kind of hard to get a real good feel for him. So, and then after, if you put a guy up, I mean, especially him, like a guy in that position, he has to be helping special teams right away. And so those are the decisions we have to make.
How challenging is it for you as the head coach to get rid of finger pointing if that does go on? I mean, how challenging has it been with this particular unit?
Again, for me, it hasn't been a problem yet. I think they've, from being in, when they're in this building or they're with me, they're obviously, I think we've been handling things very well for how things could be for how the season has gone compared to what we thought we would do. Obviously, most teams think they're going to do much better than 3-6. And we know we've had a tough schedule and all that good old stuff, but the bottom line is we haven't played as well as we think we should and we need to. So I think, having said that, I think they've handled themselves for me very well, because all the things I ask them to do, they do. We're out there practicing. I thought, like I said, I thought Thursday in our pads we had as good as practice as we've had as far as physically getting after, challenging each other, competing. And that's what you want to see. They're competing. They're working. They're not, you know, finding a way not to practice. Most guys are out there going at it pretty good. So all indications that I can go by are that we're doing what we need to do, and they're responding the way they should. And even though it'd be easy not to, there's no doubt when you don't have success or when things don't go your way, adversity, it's easy to kind of figure, it's easy to join into the masses and start saying what everybody else is saying or what people are telling them they should say or what the neighbors are saying or the media is telling them to say what's going on with our team. I think they're at least listening to what they think is really happening. And for us to get through this time, we're going to have to do that, or that makes it hard when guys start, you know, splintering off. And I don't see the merit in that. I don't see the advantage of doing that. Even when I played and a guy or two may do some of that, nothing good comes of it. I mean, it's not going to change anything for the positive. You're better off doing it in here like you would with your family. We're family here, and we're all in this thing together. If we don't win, we lose together, we win together. And I think these guys believe that part of it. So if they have something to say, it's better to say it to their coach or to me or in this room so we can work our way through it. Because we're all unhappy, and we didn't lose that game because of one guy yesterday. We lost that game because of all of us, 53 of us plus the coaching staff is responsible for where we're at right now. And that's, I think that's the thing that they realize, and that's the talk you'll hear me say to them. You probably heard that I said some of that stuff today to the players, and you know, it's their decision how they handle themselves. They decide on their attitude, how they're going to handle their situation. But I think so far it's been as good as it can be under the circumstances. They're angry. I mean, they're all the things they should be. But they'll come back to work Wednesday, and we got to find a way to beat Miami. And then the conversation next Monday is much better.
We see before Apolava got hurt yesterday, he was kind of getting some more snaps than Babineau. Had he kind of elevated his play, or has Babs maybe slipped a little bit?
No, I think it's what someone has to refer to before. Do you play, do you put the players in, and you make roster changes? Well, yeah, you do during a game. A guy plays a run a little better, they're running the ball a lot, you put a guy you think's a better run stopper in. And then you roll a guy in the pass, and you put guys in situations we think they'll be successful. So I think it's just an example of trying to use guys. It doesn't mean someone's playing horrible. It just means you think you have a better matchup. Just like playing Sensabaugh. Cody Sensabaugh played more yesterday because of the matchups we liked with him versus Ryan Mouton. Ryan still played 10, 12 plays, but didn't play as much as he had. Because, again, we're trying to find ways to get the guys in the best position, get them out there to make plays to help us win. So you're going to see that. And it doesn't necessarily mean someone's doing poorly. It just means that we think this is a better fit for what we're asking them to do. It could be a blitz package. It could be zone. It could be man. It could be depending on what we have for that game, for that play. So you'll see Jerry, I think, doing more of that. And we're, again, we're trying to do everything we can to win games. And so that's what we'll continue to do.
How's
Xavier and knee? Same thing. Knee, I just don't know how bad it is as far as he strained his ligament in his knee. It's just a matter of, you know, again, we'll have more information on him probably this afternoon or tomorrow.
Coach, we see your demeanor when you deal with us, and it's always very even keel. Behind closed doors, when the team's having problems as it is, do you change? I mean, do you get into guys' butts, so to speak? I mean, do you light people up? I mean, is that your personality?
I think you see mostly what my personality is. As far as I'm not sure what you mean by lighting people up. I don't throw things, right? Like I said before, I don't flip the Gatorade cooler. If that's all it would take, and I would have done it long ago. But I think I get people's attention. I think the bottom line is getting people's attention and getting them refocused on what you're trying to say to them and make sure you have their attention. And so if it's speaking louder and firmer to them in a yelling type voice, whatever is necessary to get attention, but I haven't really had to do that. I think these guys give me their attention. They've been respectful in that way. That hasn't been an issue as far as, is that going to go make a guy play better? All I can do is refocus him and redirect him and hope that he'll go out and use the ability he has to do that. I've never been around a coach that would yell at me and I played better because I got yelled at. I like the fact that I like someone talk to me because I realize that he doesn't like what I'm doing and I need to fix it. I think every player has to know that what he's doing is right or wrong. Everyone wants a pat in the head. Everyone wants a kick in the butt. And I think that's my job to make sure I'm doing both. And so that they feel like they constantly have direction, that I'm not accepting a certain behavior. You know, we're not going to accept guys fumbling. Now, the guys fumble on purpose. Obviously, I know they didn't, but that's not acceptable behavior. Not lining up in the right formations is not acceptable. Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of things you bring to their attention so we're all on the same page. But I think they get the point as firmly as I can. I think I have good talks with them. It may not pay dividends immediately, but I think when the smoke clears, it may not be, you know, you go out there and you yell at them at halftime and you may not get the win you want there in the third or fourth quarter. You know, it looked good for about 7 or 8 minutes in the third quarter, and maybe I should have called timeout and repeated what I said, and maybe we would have got another drive or something. But that didn't happen. But maybe it pays dividends as you go. Maybe that pays dividends with guys not pointing fingers today and tomorrow. You know, guys, you know what? I'm going to go do this instead of doing that because something sticks in their head that I said to them, either after the game or on Monday. And so, I mean, that's all you can hope for as a coach, I think, is make sure you're doing those things. That's my job, is to focus them, direct them, teach them, and try to get the best out of them. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Guys went very heavy on Marks and Casey at defensive tackle yesterday. Mark included, almost didn't play much at all. Was that a matchup thing too,
I think what happened was it was a cool day. I think they were playing. I think Casey played about, like I mentioned earlier, we thought he played well. We thought he was getting good penetration. He'd been hurt most of the year with the elbow. He had the elbow, that big old thing on his arm for all that time. And then he got something on his shoulder. And so he was playing a lot less plays for a long time. I thought yesterday he had a lot of energy, played well. So, again, it was working. I think it was one of those things where he just left him in. I think Marks was moving around pretty well, too, in the middle. So I think it was some of that with the matchups. Obviously, part of it, too. I think the fact that the two of them we thought were pretty solid throughout the day was the main part of the reason.
Anything else?